So, coding, am I right?
Yes, coding. We like to code. Or at least that was part of our life for a long time.
The good old days of liking to write some code, right? Like enjoying it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Is it the process of writing the code that was enjoyable, or is it the accomplishment, the thing that you create and the thing that you deploy, you can show the world? Is that the reason you were doing it, or is it the process?
It is a good question. I think like discovering or like, you know, figuring stuff out. But for me, mainly like the visual part, like getting a design or even thinking about the design myself and then trying to figure it out in code. That was for me the most fun, at least.
Yeah, it's kind of like a puzzle. You know what the outcome should be.
Yeah.
Visually, and you know what kind of tools you have, but you know how they all fit together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Legos.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, that was for me a lot of fun, right? Like, especially when CSS was a bit more limited in its capabilities. I mean, it's also frustrating a lot of times, but
yeah,
trying to figure out how you do like rounded edges and stuff like that was kind of fun.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, do we still like to do that? Is that not part of your process nowadays when you work?
No. I mean, so no. Like, we're going to talk about why we don't like coding necessarily anymore. Also, maybe because we still like bits of it though. But I don't know. I also think like the way we develop websites has kind of changed in the past few years. And yes, it also ruined it a bit.
I agree.
But that's more like a work and marketing and, you know, the way of working problem, and not necessarily the coding, I guess.
I think with the current way we develop things, it's become very, very convoluted.
Yes.
It's way too complex to just say, okay, I'm going to start building a website. You have to have all these steps before you can even start thinking about how it looks.
Yeah.
And I still like to do it that way, but in real life, it doesn't work that way. It's where you just open up a code editor, like VS Code nowadays, and then just open a browser and just start making HTML, like making diffs.
Yeah,
remember blocking out your page.
Yeah, remember where you just had like an index.html file and just a CSS file, and you just imported that.
Yep.
And
make a mock.
That's, I mean, you had like live reloads or something that's on save, it would refresh or whatever, and that's all. Like,
yeah, we used to use gulp.
Yeah.
A lot, or grunt, or,
I mean, there was already like the start of the end, I guess, but
kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that was still, I could wrap my head around that.
Sure, yeah.
I could, because I started learning doing all that myself.
Yeah.
I didn't rely on, gulp is already something, but it's not magic. For me, it was like, you had to define the functions, and you had to add all the tool sets, all the things you needed, like live reload, you actually had to import it in your package. And I learned a lot from that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like,
how to work with NPM and stuff like that.
No, but you had like, you had the live reload like app. Yeah. You can run in the background, or you used like, I used Ghost. I don't know if you remember that.
I haven't used a lot of those.
Compass was also pretty big.
It wasn't on Windows.
No, of course. But I mean, there was like, you just selected the folder where it had to watch for file changes.
It would,
and that's it.
Locally host it and reload it for you.
Interesting times.
There was a time where you were just working with like the raw materials, you know, like HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and you were working in those specific files. You had very clear separation of concerns, and the rules you were adhering to were defined by the world you were working in, your browser, which is the world of web development.
Yeah,
how the browser functions, you would create things specifically for each layer of that browser's rendering process, or the browser's input.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is maybe a big part of why nowadays it feels very convoluted. It's you're not working together with the browser to create something.
No.
You're working in a separate process for a separate kind of system mm-hmm. that eventually will produce something that the browser will understand.
Yeah.
And those layers, they like those kind of tools, they introduce a lot of layers.
Yeah, and a lot of layers introduce a lot of problems, or like mm-hmm. things where problems may arise. And I think for me, at least, it started with Webpack, for example. You know, I hate Webpack with every inch of my bones, but because it's so vague, like there's so much like magic going on in the background, and it's not mm-hmm. very, I mean, it doesn't feel user friendly. It's just, and it was kind of forced on me too. Like as soon as React came around the corner, Webpack was like, you know, with yeah. it, you had to use Webpack to run React.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You wanted to use a framework?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It depends on Webpack.
Yep. That's where our problems start, the dependency hell.
Yep. Like with you could say that NPM and the whole like space of packages mm. and having a reproducible work environment
yeah.
is modernizing, but also like making the web development process more adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's more full grown as a development space. A lot of other languages like C++, Java, all these languages that were real languages, they would have some kind of dependency system.
Yeah.
And you would import things and you would have all these tools that you could rely on,
mm-hmm.
libraries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Web development didn't have that a lot. You had jQuery, you would just download the jQuery file and
yeah, just put it in your head and then
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And with JavaScript evolving and having internal imports,
mm-hmm.
that was a big thing. And then eventually you also that's, I think, one of the biggest things is when JavaScript started getting imports, how do you import things now?
Mm.
Do you manually scour the internet, download each tool that you want to use, each library that you want to use, and keep up with that? No, you have to have a system that automatically gets the version that is defined so you can reproduce it.
Yeah, normally you would like or link to like a remote or like a CDN version of that file or like whatever. Or you just downloaded everything and put it in like a folder you had like locally at
And I think that process was just, it's a bit, I would say it's a bit, it's just not fully thought out.
Yeah.
And so if you want to automate that, you get a system like NPM,
mm-hmm.
Node Package Manager, and it's great. It does a lot of things that I wish I had like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't have to scour the internet for the latest version of jQuery.
Yep.
And check which CDN is the best, which one is the closest or has a server that's close to us.
Yep.
And, or like download it and host it ourselves.
Or like manually checking like if there's an update for it mm-hmm. or, yeah.
Yeah. I remember having to do that.
Yeah.
Back when WordPress would actually notify you, I think, about jQuery versions being outdated.
Yeah.
And it would tell you in the console.
Hmm.
And the only way you could update it back then was just to, at least as far as I know, you just download a new version and throw it in the right folder.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, the dependency hell happened, I think, partly because we became more like the process became more complex. Because we didn't only rely on jQuery, we also used frameworks, and frameworks use all the other things. And how do you keep track of that? Well, then you need dependencies.
Yep.
And you would think that it's pretty nice, but open source is a lot of it's very messy. Yep. A lot of times, to have open source projects be stable and be reproducible is actually kind of rare.
Mm.
Even with big projects, you have to be careful which version you download. If you have like release candidates that aren't like made for long-term support, LTS, mm-hmm. then you might run into really obscure bugs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you also have to know how some dependencies work. So which version of React works, which version of Node works.
Yeah.
Because NPM is actually just another, it's just a script on top of Node.
Yeah.
Node is the thing that runs NPM.
Mm.
Sometimes I forget. I'm like, I search for installing NPM.
Yeah.
I forget that Node is the actual thing I'm installing, and NPM is just,
yeah,
just software written in Node,
yeah,
to exactly. download things.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, that's where it started, I guess. Like, I think it's also maybe because it got too easy to get access to packages, I guess. Because I think the same was already happening with WordPress, right? Because, you know, the plugins that you had mm-hmm. in WordPress, I think a lot of times, you know, websites got out of hand because it was a bit too easy to just say, well, I'll just install this plugin, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a plugin That's for a carousel and a plugin for a form and a plugin for this and a plugin for that. And you not necessarily knowing like what, how it works, mm-hmm. like what's written in code
yeah.
to make the plugin work. And I think it's also kind of an issue with Node packages.
Definitely,
that,
yeah.
That you kind of, I mean, not everyone, and not me, not right now, I guess, but a lot of people are a bit lax, how do you call it?
Mm-hmm.
They're a bit, you know, over eager to just install everything as a package because it's there and it's easy and you just do npm I and the package and you're done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why would you build your own slider if there's like a package yeah. for it? And in some cases that makes a lot of sense to install a package for a slider, you know, for example. But yeah, I think we kind of lost the whole point of writing code and like trying to, you know, make something performant and take care of all those things. And just yeah. right now it feels a bit like a lot of people are taking the easiest way, the easiest route, which is not always the easiest. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're making it harder on ourselves than it's, I think it has to be. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's a good point where you notice that in WordPress, there was something similar, right, with the plugins being installed willy-nilly.
Yeah.
I think for me as a developer, when I install too many plugins, part of the ownership of the code mm. is also lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am not an owner of that code. And to contribute to that code or fix anything from that code,
mm.
I will have to be an open source developer, go to their GitHub,
yeah.
Do a PR or something. Only then will I be part of that process.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm using something that's just black box for me. Mm. I don't know what's happening exactly. I will have to look up the documentation. I'll have to scour the internet on the GitHub forums
yeah.
to see if other people ran into the same issues. Talking about sliders, I use a lot of sliders. I use Swiper. I used
Slick.
Slick. I used, I think, another one even.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I used some of these sliders, and they're very confusing.
Hmm.
Some of them have similar APIs or, you know, the same kind of methods
yeah.
And attributes and properties. And they work completely differently.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, if you want to fix a bug in that or something that it doesn't work with your code,
mm.
you're kind of screwed. You're going to have to adhere to their way of setting up the yeah. slider.
And also, like, when there's a bug in one of those packages, I mean, I remember when I've built many websites with a slider mm-hmm. and I put the slider in and there was like a weird bug. And I was like, well, I'll guess I have to find another slider to you know, yeah. to make this work.
It's sometimes it's just based on structure.
Yeah.
Because the slider plugin expects a specific structure of your code.
Yeah.
Or a specific CSS. Like if you overwrite one of their properties, mm-hmm. it goes completely out of whack because it's based on, for example, the width being auto or something.
Yeah, or like the controls has to be in this specific div,
yep.
in this wrapper div, otherwise mm-hmm. it doesn't work properly.
It doesn't find it.
Yeah, yeah, like stuff like that, yeah.
And to be honest, the last time I worked with Swiper, I think it was Swiper, I finally had a feeling that I understood everything, but it took me a few tries. It still is, the biggest issue is just I didn't want to put in time to figure that stuff out, because I felt like it should just work, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing is when you're using tools and like any kind of dependency, you're expecting it to be fully tested throughout and it just works. If you follow the basic instructions, it should work. And if it doesn't, then it's like, ugh.
I mean, that's why you install a package, right? Because you want to, you know, get something that's already made so you don't have to think about it or like build it from scratch.
Yep.
Because other people might have already like figured it out. But as soon as something like deviates from what you need or when there are bugs in a package, it loses the whole point of getting that package, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's also a good point. It's just when you're trying to bug fix anything in your code, it's relying on so many other things that trying to bug fix something in your code means you have to dig through all the other plugins that you're using, all the other dependencies.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just so layered that the stack trace goes down like a bunch of plugins, a bunch of dependencies.
It doesn't end.
It doesn't end. Like if you have an issue in React, there's like 10 files that it goes through, and there's, I don't know, I don't understand. There's in React, there's things that keep track of what kind of objects are in memory, and there's things that keep track of the ticks in your app. So like it checks things per tick, right? Like as basic computer science concept, most live things work with ticks because the processor isn't actually real time. It just has to, you know, it has a certain amount of frequency. And your browser also has a certain frequency and your code also has a certain frequency. And that's usually really fast if your code is fast enough. But so React also works with that. If it's done with one process, it will continue the next tick and will start the whole stack of all the processes it has to do. Check everything, check if something changed, and then update the component, whatever. So there's all these layers, like something that keeps track of your objects. There's a tick layer, there's this layer, there's that layer. And in React, I think in if you're working with React locally, you get the stack trace and it's like 10 files long and it's so convoluted and everything's minified. And even if it's not minified, you're getting like the development version of React.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to debug that? I don't know what kind of bug that is, even in my code. It's not traceable anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily, I think maybe it's a feeling I have, but it feels like debugging stuff has become more difficult than it used to be.
I mean, would think so.
Mainly because of all the layers, I guess. But yeah, it's like, sometimes I get like a React error. I'm like, I don't even know what it's saying right now.
Yep.
And I have to Google it and I might find a solution for it that way. But there's also a bunch of times where it's like such a generic error that it doesn't tell you anything. And you're like, well, I don't know how to fix this. Like, I don't know what's happening. So how do you debug stuff like that?
Yeah, it's for me, it's if I can find something, like if there's a bug that is. So what I hope for is that it happens directly after I save.
Yes, that would be, you know, then you know that it's like something you recently did, sure.
But if that's not the case, then, you know, good luck. You have to actually look at the code. Some of the stack traces, you have to, in React, what I would do is, sometimes it happens after something changes, right? An object changes, so something in a use effect gets changed and there's something internally in React that's not happy with it.
Yeah.
So at that point, is since it's interactable, I know that something happened, especially like if it's a bug that happened after you changed the code, then you know it's in the last few lines. If it's a bug that happened after data changed, then you kind of can figure out like what screen you're on, what kind of components are rendered, and try to isolate that. You can, it's so complex actually, but you can like disable some components to see if it's happening in those components or not.
Yeah.
Right. That's like, I think I've done that a few times when I was trying to figure out what the fuck was wrong with my React code. And then there is
this process of elimination, I guess.
Yeah. Just process of elimination. But in the end, in some situations, you have to literally copy paste some of the errors. But for some reason, I never got this, why that happens. But when you have specific issues with specific files, right?
Mm.
I understand that if you Google that file name,
of course,
you won't see it.
No.
But if I Google the error and the file of the React layer, like sometimes like tick.js or whatever it's called, from React in you know, node modules / React.
Yeah.
So it's there.
Mm.
And you're telling me that nobody has had this same error before?
Yeah.
On the internet? Mm. Like there's zero results. When I Google that file name, the line number and the error.
Yeah.
It's like,
how?
How am I the only one ever to get this? Or is my issue so stupid that nobody gets this?
Yeah.
Anyway, that is, I guess, the last thing I try to do is just follow the stack trace. Sometimes if you keep track of all the layers, you can like eliminate the layers that you haven't worked in and then figure out, okay, so it was in the use effect from React, but the use effect got called from my code. And then it's at the bottom, you'll see like the last two lines.
Yeah.
That's part of your code.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know that it has to be there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. At least it gets called from there.
Yeah.
So if you see a huge block of red code in your console or red like stack trace, don't give up yet. Just try to look at the bottom. Usually it's like from deep to shallow.
Yeah. It's somewhere at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
It's hard to, sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes you don't even get your own, like the function or the method or anything that is triggering the error, it's not coming from your code.
Yeah.
So it's like, where is it coming from? One of the dependencies is just not happy with the state of your app.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But yeah, bug fixing requires a doctorate in computer science nowadays.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like you have to know all the layers. You have to... Basically, you have to understand how React works internally. You have to.
But that's the thing. Like, there's so much to know. Like, if you really want to know how React works, I think you're just a React dev. Like, you should work on React itself, I guess.
Yeah. To be fair, to really, that's the thing. Is remember when we used to just write HTML, CSS, and JavaScript?
Mm.
I would say I was. Back then, you could master HTML.
Yeah.
You could pretty much master CSS. There were always some tricks. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But like 99% of the time, you would completely use all the tools in CSS or HTML. And JavaScript is just, you know, the creativity is your creativity is a limit.
Yeah.
But with all these tools now, you have to have that kind of degree of mastering and all these tools to be aware and to understand the errors that you come across.
Yeah, and I think it's not great, but it's fine if those tools were stable and they were like, you know, they didn't change a lot of times.
Well, React changes every half year a bunch.
Yes, and then also you add other frameworks that are also like popping up like every 5 minutes and we all have to switch suddenly to something else. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to, but you know.
Well, sometimes required from your work.
From your work or something is done in a better way than you're used to. And you're like, oh, maybe this will solve my problem I have with React, for example. But that means that then you suddenly have to redo everything you just learned again in a totally different way.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's just... That's the thing with all these like dependencies and with all these different frameworks is that they all require their own like learning path and their language and their like way of working with it. And it's like, It, for me, at least, it always feels like I'm trying to relearn from the ground up while I already know the basics. Like, I know how to write HTML and CSS and JavaScript. But every time there's a new framework, I have to like relearn everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, yeah. It's such a waste of time for me, at least. It feels like a waste of time.
Yeah. It's like coding paradigms also change depending on the tooling you use, the frameworks you use.
Yeah.
You can't use the same like thinking patterns to create things in different frameworks.
No, because
it just works differently.
Yeah, they find a way to do it completely different. And yeah. A lot of times that's also their selling point, right? So it's like,
yeah.
We don't do it like React, we do it in a Vue way. Let's just, you know, for example. And then it's like, it's fine, especially if it improves something.
Yeah.
But it still means that, you know, you suddenly have to relearn and do it again.
Yeah, funny you should say that. I think, I don't know if you noticed, but recently React is coming out with a new version.
Yeah, 19, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And they are doing some weird things. They're going to create a compiler.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense, but also makes a lot of sense. But they're doing that. They're also doing some other things with like use effect and stuff. They're kind of...
Yeah, they were going to remove use memo and use context, I guess. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
They're going to make it simpler by not having it...
Or callback, I mean.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is it's going to look more like Vue and
interesting,
more like Angular and stuff. So like all these frameworks are starting to slowly look like each other.
Yeah.
With the functionalities they have, at least the coding, the way you write components and stuff is still quite different.
Yeah.
But underneath it all does the same thing nowadays.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm fine with that. Like make it all one thing.
I would love that.
Yeah.
If you had... I kind of like React way of writing components. I don't like the
Vue, right?
I don't love like the little like dollar signs and at signs and stuff like that. It's like it makes me cringe a bit because you have to know what that means.
Yeah.
Instead of using for, React doesn't have that, sadly. Like a component where you can just type for. That Vue has that, I think.
Yeah.
Where like at four or something, it's so nice. Like I like that, but I don't like the rest of Vue, the way you write Vue. So, yeah, Vue has some more magic. React has less magic.
Yeah.
For me, at least, I can understand React code quicker. So I don't know. I wish there was one that had everything, and I could just pick and choose.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of the problem with tech in general. Like these frameworks pop up because they all try to solve the same problem, I guess, but they all solve it in a different way or try to solve it in a different way.
Yeah.
And we are all like so quick and eager to try stuff. And like instead of, I mean, React is now finally kind of, you know, improving stuff and trying to find a way to make things more, make more sense, I guess. And maybe then picking something from Vue that, you know, that works better than how they've done it before.
Yeah.
So it's maturing, I guess, you can say that. But I think tech in general has this big issue that there is no, like the maturing takes very long.
Yeah.
And it's paved in a path of like shit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. It takes a long time. And if you wanna like tools are already put in production before they feel mature.
Yeah.
And we use it and we work with all the kinks and the issues.
Yeah.
But it's so, so rough.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I've been working on a bunch of Next projects and there was like an issue in, I don't know, Next 13 and 14, I guess, with caching, for example.
Okay, yeah.
So it didn't revalidate the cache, I guess. So
that's an issue.
But I mean, like two versions that have that issue.
Yeah.
And I mean, it will get solved eventually, I guess. But it sucks that you're kind of like, you decided to use Next for a project.
Yeah.
You're stuck in that, right? It's not really easy to get out of Next if you're in it. I mean, unless you want to rewrite the whole project.
Yeah.
So, but now you have to deal with a caching issue that you can't solve.
Or you have to solve it by hacking it, for example.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how. Like, I mean, but what
maybe
I'm trying...
using a cron job to manually request it.
But what I'm trying to say is like this kind of shit, you know,
it,
for me, when a tool loses its whole purpose, that is to make things easier and quicker to set up or like build something, what's the point? Like, I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't get it.
But didn't it solve a lot of other issues and it has still one issue? For me, it's like, it's a give and take.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like, if it solves like 80% of my issues, but then 20% of it is still a headache, it's better than having 50-50 or something.
Sure, yeah.
Like, how else would you solve this with modern frameworks?
It's just, especially with like content-heavy websites,
yeah.
I feel like, why are we using so much JavaScript for something as simple as a content website, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think maybe we should trace back to where... So we keep saying like, yeah, we're using tools and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
It's mostly because the requirements of the projects are getting a bit out of hand.
Yes.
You get like... 2 months to build a complete website with all the components you need for a massive content heavy website.
I don't know. Like, I was thinking about like how I used to build websites. So like, let's just say WordPress, for example, right? And just in being in PHP and writing some CSS or SCSS and just a little bit of JavaScript with jQuery maybe even. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to build websites in like, I don't know, 2 weeks. You know, but if I look at like how websites are built right now, I mean, they're technically more complex, but a lot of times they don't need to be technically more complex, but they're for some reason made to be more technically complex. Like, I'm building like a content website and it's only content. I mean, there's like there's a Google Maps thing on it, you know, I've done that before with just, you know, a WordPress theme, I guess.
Yeah.
You can make it work.
Sure.
But why is it taking like, I don't know, 400 or 500 hours to build something like this.
Yep.
And what I mainly see as the things that drag on and take more time that they shoot, it's like Next, React, then you're deploying while deploying and in building something goes wrong and there's like a difference between local and development and, you know, it's all these layers and then when something goes wrong in one of those layers, like, again, it loses, for me at least, it loses the point because you use those tools to, you know, get something done.
I understand you. Yeah, and I share the same sentiment. It doesn't make my life as a developer easier.
Yeah, and like everything, like websites are also getting more expensive because of all these things, right?
Yep.
I mean, again, I get it when you have a technically complex project or like you want something...
A web app or something.
Yeah, when you want a web app. But like I've been building so many just content websites with like... very little reactivity in it in the basis, you know. But
why are we using the wrong tools?
Yeah, why are we building this in React and Next?
I've been saying that, but the thing is, new developers aren't using PHP.
Yeah,
they're not using WordPress.
Yeah,
people hate WordPress,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it makes sense that people hate it, but. You know, making a theme takes 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The basic functionality of WordPress, and it has a CMS, and it's really cheap.
Yeah.
And deploying it is simple.
It's so simple.
And you don't need a fucking doctorate to debug things.
Yeah.
And you're still like working natively in PHP. You're just calling some functions from WordPress.
Yeah.
Just to like if you use ACF or something, a plugin to add more content fields. It's even nicer to work with WordPress.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been an advocate of just choosing the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
And we used to, you know, pump out projects like even at our previous company, like every month or something, we could pump out a project like that, even with some complexity, like custom inputs and stuff for the admin.
Yeah.
Because the tools we use were right for the right job.
Mm.
It's like using a CMS with... Because in the end, what do you need for a website that's content heavy? What's it relying on? It's a CMS. Do you have a CMS in Next?
Yeah.
a CMS in Next?
What do you mean?
Like, is it part of your, like, what you're going to have to use a third-party CMS.
Yeah.
A headless CMS.
Yeah, a headless CMS, yeah.
And you're going to have to set that up too.
Yeah.
And it takes a bit of work to set that up as well.
Not a bit. Yeah. It takes a lot of work.
It's you have to synchronize that with your code.
Yeah.
And you have to input all the types and you have to do this and that.
So this is what I mean. Like, you, when you build like a React Next and like a headless CMS, like, you know, like stack, I guess. So you build it with everything is being dynamic, I guess, mm-hmm. because you have to retrieve from the CMS your data. You have to, you know, you have reactivity in the most simple and basic things, like using use effect to just load something when a component renders, you know?
Yeah.
Although like it's a lot of work for something very simple, basic.
It used to be all server side.
And then
you can still do it with Next server side, but.
But still, like from all that dynamic stuff that can be static or very basic, I guess, with PHP and a CMS, you build it to a static version, like in the end.
In the end, it's all cached to HTML, CSS, JS.
Yeah. So what's the point? Like.
Yeah. I don't know. I can be devil's advocate and say that it's adding a modern workflow and requirements from companies are like, we need a design library. We need testability.
Mm-hmm.
We need, Q&A. We need all these like layers. We need a development tool set that is reproducible, which is kind of rough with WordPress still. Yeah. You need like third-party plugins and you need to synchronize the databases.
Yeah.
So like there are some things that are fixed or they're mitigated with the way that we work with modern frameworks. But you see what I'm saying? It's like from one side, you could say, okay, we fix the issue that databases need to be synchronized because we're using a completely different thing, like a CMS that has like a different, how do you call it? Like a namespace. I think in Contentful, you have like different databases inside the same project.
Mm.
Something that is really awkward to do in PHP and WordPress, right? You have to redeploy it somewhere and then hook up the database there.
Yeah, sure.
And there's some issues there too with like security.
Yeah.
It's not nice.
No.
And it's also, you can get some weird issues with like synchronization. Mm-hmm. And we've had that with other like Craft CMS and stuff.
Yeah.
So it has issues on that side.
Yeah.
So headless CMS kind of fixes that. But in order to use headless CMS, you don't have to use like React. You don't have to use a JavaScript framework.
Yeah.
But since they want to use components,
mm-hmm.
guess what? You don't really have a good way to write components. Well, there are tools,
sure,
but modern developers use React.
You will get at React, eventually.
And then, how do we use? How do we write the CSS? BEM? No, that's 2015.
Yeah.
We're using Tailwind nowadays.
Yep.
So it starts from there. It's like I want to make it simpler. I want to make it reproducible and documentation not needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're using tools that everyone else knows, and it's like becoming a standard to the field.
Yeah,
I don't know. For me, it's getting too complex, but I understand where we came from. It's
like when you say complex, when I think of complex, I think of something that's technically very advanced, and you might need to understand it to finally get there,
mm-hmm.
but. Right now, it feels for me like it's complex in a different way, in that it's just a bunch of bullshit that making it harder instead of easier to do your work.
Yeah, that's maybe the word complex is not the best way. It's just convoluted.
Yeah,
it's getting too hard to just figure out what like the decisions you have to make are not based on the the project.
Mm-hmm.
The project doesn't even matter. Projects are usually pretty simple.
Yeah.
Like the requirements in the end for the project are simple.
I mean, websites haven't changed technically. I mean, not that much, right? Like the
unless
requirements.
You're using creating a web app.
Exactly, but we're not talking about web apps.
Yeah.
Just websites in general. Yeah.
I mean, it's just
same. Yeah. There's still a slider and there's still a navigation menu.
Maybe a form at the bottom, a newsletter.
Yeah. Maybe there's a form. Yeah. And maybe you used to use an iframe for a form or whatever, or you built your own form, but that was already like getting a bit more technically difficult in some cases, but still.
Yeah. Well, in order to create a form in modern frameworks, you'll have to use something like Next.js in order to have it cached. Like the rest of the page. The form, you want it to be interactable. You want to give an error message. So you're using a complete framework just to have that error message show up while the rest is cached.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is.
It's also like like Next. Well, for me, it feels like Next. Only reason why it was like made was because everyone was jumping onto React. Like everyone was like, "Oh, React! You know, building a how do you call that? Not a static, but like a dynamic website is a very cool application. That's the web application. It's very cool." But then they were like, "Oh, wait." There's no like caching. There's no.
It's really bad for SEO.
It's bad for SEO. There's no indexing or whatever. Yep. It's like, oh shit. Well, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. How can we fix this? Oh yeah, maybe if you make React static again. How about that?
Yep.
Like I get it. Yeah. But I also don't get it. It's like we're trying to solve issue that we made ourselves.
Yes, but yeah. From another perspective, it's if you're creating something, because React used to be just, you know, web app. It was meant for web apps, I think, or at least
it was made for Facebook, right?
Yeah,
and it's a web app.
You don't need to cache all those private posts and stuff. Anyway, but. From a development standpoint, completely separate from the web, the whole process makes sense where you're using a runtime to develop in and to test in and to create components in. And then in the end, package everything and then render it statically, like the most optimized version.
Yeah.
So if I say it like that, doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
So, like, it depends on how you're working with it. And as a developer, it made my life really difficult. But as a consumer and as like, a project owner, you're going to be super happy with it.
Yeah.
If you have good developers who can keep their keep their sanity, and that depends also on the work, like, the process and the workflow of your project. If you can get there, it actually, I think, in the end, makes your life for a couple reasons better. And as a developer, I think if you have a final build that's stable and kind of bug-free without caching issues, I think you'll be pretty satisfied with how it works because your development tools are really, they let you work really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like you can live reload just a single component. You don't have to refresh the whole page. You can test every single component. You don't have like it makes a lot of sense from a development standpoint, actually. Yeah. But you have to make use of them. And that's maybe my next point is you have to like the reasons these things exist is because the process became more mature, if you want to call it that, between apostrophes.
Yeah.
But it introduced so many layers of things we have to do now, and we're still not doing them. Like, what's the use case of using components if you're going to render them statically, right? Then you could just, you know, have class names and buttons, and you would have the same kind of effect. Because a button component, it's just a button with styling that changes on, like, a type or something. What would you add to a button to give it a different style in React? Like you wouldn't use class name anymore.
No,
you would use something like variant.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. But we used to just use class names.
Yeah. Just toggle those.
Yeah. Then you would have a different variant.
Yeah.
The function of the button would still be pretty simple, and still is in React. It, most of the time, it's just a callback.
Yeah.
And if not, it's even just a navigation. But nowadays people use buttons for navigation for some reason. I mean, it makes sense from a design standpoint.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is testing like actual testing components and using like Storybook and doing all that stuff. I think if you're not making use of those tools in your framework, then it could feel very quickly like overkill because all the advantages you have while developing, they're kind of gone the moment you don't actually make use of all those tools. And what I'm trying to say is things that are important for developers to stay sane and to have no issues in their development process, they're still left as afterthoughts, like testing.
Yeah.
In agency work, at least, I feel like testing is just something that is done ad hoc, like at the end. And it's not like part of the process where we're like, okay, we spend each sprint a couple of days to create tests for like if it renders well, if this works well, stuff like that. So later on, if you get a complex bug, you're not going to be able to catch it.
Yeah, but like it's all money based, right?
Yep.
So because it costs more money to test something properly. Mm-hmm. And when a client asks like, but yeah, I want to pay less than this, the first thing you will say as a company is like, well, then we'll just, you know, skip testing. Yeah.
What's non-vital?
Non-essential.
Non-essential.
And stuff like that gets hurt in the process. And accessibility also gets hurt most of the time in that process too.
Yep.
Because, you know, as a healthy, normal, that's not a good way to say that. Like a healthy, you know, human being, you don't have that accessibility problem, you know?
Yeah, you kind of bat an eye.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I've had so many discussions with people where they were like, yeah, but, you know, it's only 4% of the population who has this.
It's all numbers.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? So you're saying that 4% doesn't matter right now while they want to use this on your website?
The money speaks for itself.
I know. It's just
if it mattered, then it would be a higher percentage. That's what they would say. And then we would actually take care of it.
Yeah. I mean, they would literally like link the amount of, you know, people to a number. Yep. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, fixing this will cost this amount. And it's only 4% of the population. Yep. So it's this amount. Yeah, not going to do it.
Yeah, our target audience isn't mainly old people, so why even care?
Well, a lot of times they don't even look at the target audience, to be honest.
That's another thing. It's like projects get launched without even doing proper research.
Yeah.
And that,
I think it's so funny because like the last few years, like let's say 5 to 10 years, I guess, what has been the biggest like rise in design? That's been like UI and UX designers, right?
Sure.
The whole purpose of UX design is that they try to, you know,
create research, things for the target audience.
Yeah, research and, you know, design things that make sense for their users. Mm-hmm. How is it that we still don't, you know, use that research in a proper way?
Yeah. We don't, like, that's what I'm still saying. It's I think the process of the projects are, yes, they are more convoluted for developers, but if we are using the right tools, again, for the right job, then it would not be that painful to go through it because we would actually make use of all those like steps in our process. Mm-hmm. Every step in our process nowadays has a moment where you can check things, where you can deploy things, where you can test things. Mm-hmm. And we don't do all of those, but we add the complexity of all those layers. And then at the end, it's just too much to handle for a few developers. It's just a lot of things you have to do. As a single developer, sometimes if you want to like start from scratch in a Next.js project, it's just a lot of work. If you have to connect a CMS to a Next.js project, you're spending a whole week to set that up correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also think it's kind of funny. I had a discussion with someone a while back about this, but like we used to be front-end developers and back-end developers, right? And back-end developers were the ones who made sure that the database was, you know, working correctly with, you know, PHP, for example.
And set up the APIs and stuff.
Yeah, and like the data is like relevant and it all works, all that good stuff. But right now, all those back-end developers are like gone, I guess, and everything is suddenly like pushed into the front end.
Yep.
So now suddenly, instead of focusing on, you know, making interfaces make sense and, you know, make it work properly and make like, you know, all that good stuff, like the visual aspect of it.
Yep.
Their focus is now suddenly more on like, how am I going to solve this caching issue?
Yep.
Like, these are all things, for me at least, that don't necessarily need to be, you know, put on one yep. person at the same time. I agree. And I think that's also a reason why UX and, testing, for example, you know, take a backseat. It's because suddenly there are more responsibilities for stuff that I don't think should be the responsibilities necessarily of the front-end yeah. developer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you don't have enough time to do all those things
no.
very properly and keep up with all the issues, all the bugs and the new like ways of working.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of work, and I don't think it's actually viable for single developers to do all those things
yeah.
on a high level.
Yeah, exactly.
Consistently.
And that's why I think like quality suffers from that greatly in web development right now. It's also kind of weird if you look at like again how long a project takes right now to finish and how long a project used to take. You know, of course you have one less person working on it because yeah. there's no backend developer, for example, working on a project. But if I look at the hours, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like,
it's a lot of hours.
How is, you know, it's not like the hours from the backend developer have suddenly, you know, been added to the work yeah. of the frontend developer. No. Suddenly the frontend developer's work has become like triple or like quadruple the yeah. amount that it was. And yeah. like, so instead of like getting two people to work on this thing, like a backend developer, frontend developer, you fire the backend developer and you're like, ah, yes, one less person to, you know, pay a salary, I guess.
Yeah.
But then suddenly that single person has to do like the work for three people or like yep. two at least. What's happening? Like,
very interesting.
How does that work financially? I don't get it.
Yeah. And I think this topic kind of, it reminded me of the previous episode with development caution.
Yeah.
Why people are estimating way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe because, you know, they get put on so many complex,
there's so convoluted many things. Like insecurities or like yep. things you don't know about.
Yeah. Nowadays when I'm estimating, I'm like, if there's something I don't know about, I'm going to double the hours.
Yeah.
Because it literally could be twice the amount of hours.
You don't know.
Who knows? It could be faster, but most of the times my hunches nowadays are pretty accurate where, oh, I don't know how this API works yet.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this is for the nerds out there. There was a project and I had to use the SOAP API, mm-hmm. like an API made in SOAP that's XML based.
It's all fun.
But now it's being transitioned to REST and the SOAP API is going to die mm-hmm. or they're going to just disable it in a year or something. So you have to move to REST. So I'm being asked to estimate how long that takes. And I'm like, I'm looking at the documentation and it's like multiple pages. And the REST API, there's no like single good interface with a table that shows all like the SOAP requests next to the REST requests.
Yeah.
Like literally next to each other.
So you know what you yeah. have to do. Yeah.
Like what kind of requests I have to take to make to get there. So it's like, okay, so I'm going to have to read all this and that's all already going to take me like half a day.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to figure out all the new request methods and connect them back to the project.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, how do you even estimate that correctly?
And then also, like, this is just one project. Like, yep. how many projects do you think you're gonna get in the future that are like this? Like, yeah. so you have to learn all this bullshit
yep.
for one project,
yep.
and then that's it. Yeah, like, you'll never use it again.
A specific API for a very specific project for yeah. a specific client, and it's because they used a website or a third-party website where they can enter specific content and that website is made for the kind of content. It's for like schooling systems. They have like sign up forms and stuff like that, and it's all connected. But yeah, it's pretty complex. Like again, the word complex is here. It's not meant as in it's very logically complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like it's convoluted, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah,
and I need more time.
Yeah,
and yeah, like an estimate like that. I think in most projects, if you're getting requirements and you get like the stack you're going to work with, it's going to be like a vague bubble of like maybe this, maybe that.
Yeah,
I don't know. And unless you have like a completely, like perfectly set up template for these kind of projects, you're going to have to estimate like that, like in between X and X times two or something, you know?
Yeah. But a lot of times they don't accept an answer like that.
Nope. So they're going to set up a fixed amount, and then you're kind of screwed.
Yep.
But yeah.
Fun.
One of the, like, it's either the company that hired you or you yourself as a developer, if you're a freelancer, who's going to pay out of pocket to fix that. And that's an interesting process, because unless you can get away with clients accepting your exuberant amount of hours, the people who are getting screwed over are either the agencies or the developers.
Yeah.
But it's never the client.
No.
And I feel like the process that we have chosen as agencies and developers kind of made that the reason.
Yep.
that we're getting screwed. Like, so we made our life more difficult.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that's like also a line, the red line in this past hour, I guess.
Yep.
We've made it more difficult for ourselves instead of making it, you know, easier, which was, I think, the whole point of a lot of, you know, tools.
You would think with all these dependencies that already should work out of the box. So why isn't our life easier?
Yep. Why is it not? So I don't know. Maybe like we should finish with a bit of positivity, I guess. Why do you still enjoy development? What makes you enjoy it, I guess?
To be honest, I think, so when I first started web development, I came from Flash, and Flash was very interactable.
Yeah.
It was like animation based, and I could make amazing things. And then when I made a transition, HTML5 just came out with Canvas.
Yeah.
And I'm still dreaming of working on projects that require that kind of interactability.
Yeah.
And I think the tools are there.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the funny thing is the tools that you need to make very highly interactable, visually pleasing things don't require that much convolution or complexity in their dependencies.
Mm-hmm.
They require creative thinking and a bit of math.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's still possible in the HTML world, like the web world. You can just, you know, give me some vanilla JavaScript, 3.js, and HTML, and I'll make something that's mind-boggling compared to Next.js and all these things that takes weeks, and you can't even get something working correctly without it, you know, breaking your cache.
Yeah.
So for me, I am still hopeful about the fact that you can still make beautiful things in the web environment, and it's one of the mediums that is really highly accessible for everyone. If you have a computer, the first thing you do is probably open the browser and surf the web, and you know, exchanging information, exchanging cool visuals, exchanging like a fun UX is like something that the user actually will enjoy using.
Yeah.
That makes me happy, and I think that's still possible, and it's still out there. You know, you don't have to have Next to make it look that nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely not. I mean,
and that's the thing. I like using modern frameworks just for the fact that I can, if I want to, I can make it highly interactable.
Yeah,
but yeah, I do have to learn. I do have to learn all the other crap around it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it's like it gives me that extra interactability that is like mostly possible because I'm using that tool.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I'm not like pessimistic. I'm a cynic with web, where I don't like what I'm using because it's fucking annoying. But I know that it's the only way to get there nowadays. So it's like, it's cynical, but it's not pessimistic. I'm not negative about it per se. I still see the positive, like, silver lining around everything, where we as developers are, we're maybe not trying to make our lives better in the end. We're trying to make everybody else's lives better, which is...
I mean, I that's the dream, but I'm not sure if that's like what's currently happening, but, you know.
I think if we work together, I think we can get there.
Yeah, sure.
And as you said, like, maybe having one developer do everything is not the best option.
No.
And yeah, that's also part of my dream, is working together with other developers.
Yeah.
Having a team of developers who can actually, like, one developer who's an expert on Next, and another developer who's an expert in Contentful, another expert who's into APIs, and we can combine our three forces and
work together and make something great. Yeah.
And then you will get actually extremely qualitative products.
Yeah. And I also think that will, you know, you will be a lot quicker to develop projects.
Yeah. And you will learn more as well, because you don't have to stay on the surface to, you know, because you don't have enough time to go deeper.
Yeah.
Now you can actually focus on how to actually work with Next instead of, you know, being... being always like, is this the best way to do it? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I think also, well, not to tread into negativity again, but I think also, like, a lot of processes that are currently in the development world are, you know, messing up the flow, as in Agile and Scrum. I think there, you know, there might be great things about it, but they're also destroying a lot of things in the process.
Yeah,
especially the amount of flexibility and space you used to have to, you know, inject some creativity and do things differently than what might be, you know, possible.
Yeah, I like that. It's, in the end, I don't even think it's the tools and the dependencies and all those things that are frustrating us. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of time, the lack of understanding from people we work with, and the workflow, the process that we use, doesn't allow us to actually make use of all the tools correctly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think, I think my biggest frustration, and then I'll add a bit of positivity afterwards, I guess.
Yeah.
But my biggest frustration is not necessarily, again, also with the tools, but it's just, I think people should think more about why and what they're doing instead of just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I also try to, you know, inject into junior developers, or, like, you know, starting developers, is that think about why you want to do it, and, like, think if this is the best solution to do that, instead of just, you know, everyone is doing React, so let's do React.
Yep.
Everyone is using Tailwind, so let's use Tailwind, you know?
It's like...
I don't necessarily, you know, like, I don't like Tailwind, but I don't hate it. Like, I think it's fine for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fine for a lot of different projects. It can work.
Yep.
But the problem is that a lot of people don't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no...
Yep. Why am I using this?
Yes. So that's what I don't like. And also what I don't really like about, like, React and Next is that a lot of people don't think about why they should or shouldn't use Next and React. It's just like, this has become the default way to do things. So that's why I'm doing it.
Yep.
I like to, you know, make people think about those kind of things.
It's a good point. It's like, can you get a screw in your board with a hammer? Can you hammer it in?
I mean, you can eventually, yeah.
And will it work? Yes, but is it the right tool?
Yeah, it's the best way to do this. No.
It feels like that sometimes.
Yeah,
where, you know, there are better tools, but you can't convince anyone to use them because everyone else is just... They learn how to use a hammer, and so that's the only way to get the screw in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. And so, like, the reason why I still kind of like development, for me at least, development started with the creative side too, in a different way.
Yeah.
I wasn't that much into Flash, to be honest, because I also started developing when Flash was dying a bit. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I liked working in Flash because of the, you know, the graphic stuff you can create with it. But I saw more of like an opportunity to create all that, you know, visually and creative stuff in a browser, in like, you know, CSS and a little bit of JavaScript. So
yeah,
that's what I enjoyed most of the time, was like creating complex interfaces or solving complex problems with it, those interfaces, you know, creating a navigation without JavaScript in a, you know, with like hovers and drop downs, or like, how do you call it, like hiding checkboxes to, you know, toggle a menu, for example. I don't know, stuff like that. That was kind of, you know, it was fun. CSS is also very, you know, clear and strict in what you can and can't do with it in a way. So it's, CSS is not complex, but you can create complex things with it. So I think that's one of the great things about CSS. And JavaScript can do almost anything you want in a million different ways. so the rules are a lot, you know, blurrier, and that's what I, why I have more issues with the current development, you know, way of development, I guess. So just to reiterate, I guess, I really liked the design aspect. I like building interfaces, and, you know, that creative side is for me a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, I might have to stop developing eventually because I don't like the way it's going with the visual style, or the visual way, I guess, of working. Yeah. Because, you know, there are a lot of UI frameworks right now, and I think like design is getting more and more an afterthought for some reason instead of like the main point. Not always, but it's like, it has always been a big thing that companies try to create components, or like, you know, make things reusable, because that earns them more money, right? Yeah. If they can build a website with old components, it's easier. But you kind of lose all that like creativity. You can,
the uniqueness, per like the personality of websites, the uniqueness of the brand.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't know.
I think maybe for both of us, a healthy thing to do is just go back to the basics and create something tiny for ourselves and see if we can still enjoy that. If so, maybe change our process of working. And that might mean that we have to find different clients. And
well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Because if something is very popular, or like something has become the staple of work, how do you gonna, you know, not work with that? Because it's kind of become mandatory.
I'm going to look at Dave Rupert. It's a friend of Chris Coyer. They have a Shop Talk Show podcast. And Dave Rupert is actually an advocate of like basic HTML, CSS, JavaScript.
Nice.
And he has clients and he works for them. So I'm curious how he's doing that, and how he's, you know, how he can actually sell himself like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do complex. Well, that's another, like, complex is the wrong word, maybe. Yeah. I don't want to do convoluted stuff. Yeah. I just want to, just give me the project and I'll see what I can do with the basic tools.
So, hey, I just want a basic website, or just a content website. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need much.
Yep. Yeah. I think Dave Rupert's website is also like, it's very simple, but that's the point. It's just, why do you need more? Why do you need more?
Yeah.
It's just like, he literally writes everything by hand, like all the HTML and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has some CMS in the back, but you can clearly see this is like handwritten. Mm. If you look at the code, you know, like he still has like comments in the head
nice.
To show like what like the title, the pre-connect, the Google tag, third parties, and it's handmade. And they're still like, it's not minified.
Yeah.
But it, guess what? It loads in a millisecond because it doesn't need more. It's a content website. It's a blog, and that's pretty cool. In my opinion, that's something that we are missing nowadays. Let me just double check. Yeah, it's just all handmade. It might be using some kind of build process, because he's using, I don't know what kind of CMS he's using, but there are some more interesting interfaces that I'm curious about here. Anyway.
Yeah. It's like
Jekyll. He's using Jekyll.
All right. It's a artisanal development, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of using a word that I heard last time. I don't know where I heard it, but it was what's the word again?
Oh no, I want to know now.
Yes. Everybody wants to know, even I do. It's oh no, oh man, old man brain.
Yeah,
it's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh no, yes,
but I'll get to it another day.
All right,
I'll keep you guys on a cliff.
Oh, this is exciting stuff.
Yeah. Maybe we should introduce the next episode with just that word.
Yes.
I think this is it for us today. Yeah,
I kind of hope that you know, giving you like a split second to think would like.
I will get there if I don't speak.
All right,
but well, we can cut it out, and suddenly I'll scream it out.
Well, please don't scream. All right, thank you for listening to old men complain, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like a boomer when I'm complaining.
Yeah, me too. Especially with like all this technology stuff, you know.
That's the funny thing is I'm a developer, but I feel like I'm out of touch.
Whoa.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah. Wait, how?
Just what? Like with things that youngins do nowadays. Oh, those youngins. Oh, like, those rascals. For example, the TikTok interface.
I don't want to talk about TikTok, please.
Well, like the I don't. I'm not a Zoomer, and it's so clear that I'm not a Zoomer. It's kind of weird that there's a very distinct line that I'm I'm allowing myself to tread over
Let's not go there. Yeah. But like, I have to say, like, I installed TikTok like recently, and I removed it immediately because of what I saw on it. But no, not in a good way. But trust me, it was very bad. But also like. I was like, what, this interface? Yeah. Like, what is this?
Yes.
I don't, why? I'm like, I want to do this right now. And I don't know how. Like, I feel like an old man.
Yep. So it's interesting.
It's very interesting. All right. Let's stop right now. See you next time. Thank you for listening.
And maybe watching.
Oh, maybe watching.
One day.
One day. A man can dream, right?
Yes. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.